Hey, Texas bow hunters, did you know there's a ranch designed specifically for you? Located just outside of Dehannes in South Texas, Boaz Man's Quattro B Ranch allows you to test your skills with do-it-yourself bow hunts for trophy whitetail, black buck, audad, fallow, axis deer, hogs, and others. And after a day in the field, relax in the state-of-the-art lodge equipped with a kitchen, shower, fireplaces, satellite, flat-screen TVs, pool table, barbecue pits, and more. Call 210-827-0681 or visit BoazManBowHunting.com to book your hunt today. That's BoazManBowHunting.com.
Hey, Ticketheads. Les Lundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail Hunt, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and Pronghorn Antelope Hunt. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on a hunt of a lifetime.
Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms is Texas tried and true, producing the Lone Star State's finest sod grass for commercial, residential, and wholesale customers for 46 years. They'll even deliver anywhere in Texas. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms also specializes in hydro seeding, irrigation, and landscape. Call 866-541-8873 or visit BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com, and you'll notice they also offer awesome South Texas dove hunting over their Frio County Turfgrass Farm. It's a dove magnet, baby, so go to BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com today. Need to buy a trailer? Big Tex Trailers has you covered. From our four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion and to fit every need. Stop by one of our three South Texas locations. Call Affordable Trailers on Northwest Loop 410 in North San Antonio at 210-699-6000 or Affordable Trailers on Highway 87 East in South San Antonio at 210-648-2700. Then there's our new Big Tex Trailer location on I-35 in Buda. Call 512-295-4292 or visit us at www.BigTexTrailerWorld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Whitetail hunting is as Texan as cowboy boots, high school football, and country music. And my friends at the scenic Rancho Bayas Rocas offer some of the finest whitetail hunting found anywhere in the Lone Star State. Situated 35 miles northeast of Del Rio on the Edwards Plateau, the Carta Valley landscape is breathtaking, and you'll feel right at home in God's country while you stay at the rustic yet state-of-the-art lodge. Rancho Bayas Rocas offers hunts to fit every budget. So call 713-468-5001 or visit RanchoBayasRocas.net. Morning, Texas. That is Chuck Meade's Gunmetal Gray kicking things off for us on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for starting your weekend off with me on this lovely October morning. Man, oh man, it's a good time to be a Texas hunter. We are full swing into archery season, and that really gets the blood pumping. We've got a great show lined up for you this morning, by the way. Off the top, we're going to visit with the Lone Star State's governor, that's right, Rick Perry, is set to join us. He's an avid bow hunter, and of course, we'll also get into him smoking that coyote with his concealed carry weapon while jogging outside of Austin. That's pretty cool when you know your governor's packing heat, and he uses it. We're also going to chat with Marco Barrett of South Texas's Las Raices Ranch. Almost everyone probably is aware by now that a potential new Texas state record whitetail was harvested at Las Raices about a week and a half ago. Marco's father actually shot that monster that once officially scored will measure over 300 inches. There really is so much to learn here regarding whitetail management. Of course, Marco was actually on the hunt too. He was sitting in the blind when his father harvested that buck. We're going to get into their management philosophy. And you know, there's a lot of controversy surrounding this buck, because a lot of people just can't fathom that a native Texas deer, that's right, this deer has not been genetically altered at any point ever. The herd has not been manipulated, but a lot of people have a hard time believing that a 300-inch deer could actually grow in Texas. So Marco's going to come on the show, talk about that whole experience, the hunt, and their management philosophy, so I'm looking forward to that. A couple orders of business this morning. For those of you who may not be aware, I was out of town last weekend, so I hope you all enjoyed our Best Of show with Bill Dance, Phil the Duck Commander Robertson, and obviously Uncle Ted. I was actually enjoying a week-long fly fishing and blue grouse hunting trip in New Mexico's Carson National Forest, so I guess you could say it was work-related. This was my 7th or 8th time to go fishing and backpacking in the New Mexico wilderness, but it was my first time to fly fish and first time to grouse hunt. I did manage to catch some trout on my new Temple Fork fly rod, thanks to Jim and the good folks at Temple Fork Outfitters for setting me and my buddy Luke up with some great fly rigs. I caught a couple of Red River rainbows and even landed a beautiful brown trout as well. You know, I tell you what, it's hard to beat the coloration on one of those little suckers. You know, I've been trout fishing for as long as I can remember, but never with a fly rod. And that whole experience was one that I'd have to say, not only will I not forget, but I think I might be hooked on this whole fly fishing thing. You know, it's pretty addicting. And also a special thanks to Sean over at Orvis Dallas for giving me and Luke that lesson so that we weren't going into this whole thing blind. Now, the other part of our trip was focused on blue grouse hunting. And I tell you what, people aren't kidding when they say you have to walk 5 miles for every blue grouse that you're going to come across. They're few and far between. But throughout that half of the week that we spent dedicated to grouse hunting, we did manage to harvest 6 birds, delicious white meat, I'd say comparable to a bobwhite quail, but a whole lot bigger than Mr. Bobwhite. We put some dry rub on those bad boys, wrapped them in foil, and threw them in the coals. Oh my gosh, talk about a feast. Fresh trout and blue grouse, oh man, it was hard to beat. And then you mix in a little rabbit that my buddy shot, and we were truly living off the land. What a week it was. I actually put together a little slideshow. It's a 5-minute video about our week in the land of enchantment. And I tell you what, folks, there is no way in hell that I would ever live anywhere other than the Lone Star State. But for an outdoorsman, New Mexico is a pretty cool place to visit. So anyway, Carson National Forest, 2 thumbs up. Love my time there. Can't wait to go back next year. Check out the video once again on my homepage at texasoutdoorsmedia.com. And speaking of my homepage, congrats to Frisco's Anthony Amantine, our September Photo of the Month winner from Aubrey, Texas. Great photo of a hog that took one in the ear hole and is laid out next to a cross in a pet cemetery, no less. Be sure to check that out. It's kind of eerie, but very cool. Anthony, like all of our Photo of the Month winners, wins a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News and is entered into our Photo of the Year Grand Prize Contest, which is a 2-day, 2-night exotic doe, unlimited hog bow hunt at the Quattro B Bow Hunting Ranch. All you have to do is send me your best outdoor picks to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Also, a real quick reminder that we have extended our first ever Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind contest through the end of November. We have 3 great prize packages to give away valued at over $1,000. And all I want is for you to email me pictures of your deer blind, once again, to cablewaco@yahoo.com. A reminder that Texas Ranger Hall of Famer Rusty Greer and Elite Series angler Kelly Jordan are judging this contest. So email me pics of your deer blind, or you can visit deerblindcontest.com for more details. Last order of business here this morning, the Dallas chapter of Ducks Unlimited has donated a table to their 2010 banquet valued at over $750. It's a table for 10. Dinner and drinks are included. That's coming up Wednesday, November 17th, so just about a month away. It doesn't matter where you are in Texas, this is an event worth attending. All you have to do to win this table is come up with something you're willing to donate to DU. Now, whether that's a guided duck or goose hunt for a couple people, or a deer hunt on your ranch or lease or whatever, or maybe you have an old 4-wheel drive vehicle that you're willing to part with, all you have to do is donate it to Ducks Unlimited Dallas, and you could win that table valued at $750 for 10 people. Just shoot me an email with what you're willing to part with, and you could win that table. Well, we do have to take a quick break, but y'all don't go anywhere because we'll be right back with Texas Governor Rick Perry. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Well, I've got nowhere to run, but the night has just begun, and I know it's gonna end somewhere. Lay my head in some strange place, the same look upon my face, another wasted night alone, trying to turn this battle into gold.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call 210-822-2915. That's 210-822-2915, or visit McPherson 4mranch.com today.
Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Pruski's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Pruski's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Pruski's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham, bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskiesmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Pruski's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Lehman H Feeders has been making the highest quality feeder for 45 years, and it takes 45 years to get 45 years of experience. Manufactured in Texas, we offer feeders for deer, quail, fish, pets, and livestock, and even songbirds. Some of our feeders are still operating in the field after 40 years of use. Makers of the trusted Blind Buddy and Blind Buddy Jr., our feeders are the most durable and user-friendly on the market. Visit www.lehmanhfeeders.com, because life's too short to buy a cheap feeder. That's lehmanhfeeders.com.
Texas outdoorsmen are fortunate enough to live in the best hunting state in the Union, as Texas provides some of the finest whitetail and bird hunting found anywhere on God's green earth. And with fall here, hunters are starting to get the fever. Trigger fingers are starting to get that natural curl in it. Feeders and cameras should be set, guns sighted in, honeydews completed with kitchen passes secured, and of course, don't forget about the new gear. And when it comes to gear, there's only one brand to consider, and that's Game Guard. Game Guard has deep Texas roots and works hard to provide the best camouflage products this state has to offer. So ask for Game Guard at your favorite retailer or look them up on the web at GameGuard.net. Game Guard, made for Texas hunters by Texas hunters. Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. Featuring top-notch accommodations with 150 to 220 class bucks harvested annually, Star S Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
Hey everybody, this is Max Stalling, and you're listening to my buddy Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Drinking down and shooting the breeze for a while, heck, just like we were out fishing. And it's well after nine, it don't cost us a dime. We think it's an elegant solution. We ain't drinking alone, we're on the phone with our brother.
The Lone Star Outdoor Show's own Max Stalling bringing us back from break here. I Ain't Drinking Alone is the name of that tune. It's off Max's new record, Home to You. So y'all check that out. I'm Cable Smith, and this segment is proudly brought to you by Diamond Sports Marine, Texas' premier Ranger and War Eagle boat dealer. Check out either their Lake Fork or Rockwall location, or visit them at www.diamondsportsmarine.com. Well, without further delay, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce an avid outdoorsman that we are all very familiar with, Texas Governor Rick Perry. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
Proud to be with you.
Well, we're certainly proud to have you. I guess let's start at the beginning this morning. A lot of Texans may not be aware that you're an Eagle Scout and you have a degree in animal science from A&M. Now, your parents were ranchers in the small West Texas town of Paint Creek, so I assume that's where your passion for the outdoors and wildlife was first realized.
Yeah, Paint Creek's really not a city. It doesn't have no zip code there. It's just a little community stuck out about 16 miles from Haskell, the county seat of Haskell County. So it's about as rural as you can get. You know, I as I said, 16 miles from the closest place that had a post office and 5 miles from the closest place that you could call a
Community Center, which is where the school was, and two churches, Baptist and Methodist, your choice. That was pretty much it. Saturdays were half a day Boy Scout and rest time working at the farm. So, you know, it was always out in the country and interacting with nature. We actually didn't hunt a lot until I got up to, you know, 14, 15, old enough to drive, and then it was, none of us had any money, but we pretty much prowled those back roads and kept the coyote and varmint population down. That was kind of the height of our hunting. A little bit of dove hunting, and I actually didn't get into serious hunting until I was up in my Air Force days and could actually afford to go with people to deer leases and turkey leases. And
right.
That's kind of where I got really hooked on hunting. And then when we got in the legislature, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of people who, members of the legislature that had ranches and what have you. So that's been some great years to go really see and to watch how the, particularly the whitetail hunting industry has grown. And last weekend we saw pictures of a 308 that was taken down in South Texas. I mean, the growth of the whitetail deer, both the industry and physically the deer themselves, has been really interesting to watch. And you know, somebody said, "When's it going to stop?" And I said, "You know, that's being able to let them live long and to feed them and to, you know, genetically, you know, get that hybrid vigor going out there. You know, who knows? But you know, nature culled them down pretty hard through the years. But we're just seeing some fascinating deer, and this may be the best year in Texas history. I mean, these 5, 6, 7 year old deer that were becoming mature now, perfect conditions this year. So there's going to be some great whitetail deer taken.
Yes, sir, Governor. And funny you bring up that deer, because we're going to visit with the ranch manager where that 300-inch buck was taken, coming up here in just a little bit.
Oh, cool. I think it was down in Ensign now, correct?
Yep, it was taken on the Los Raices Ranch.
They just put a big old gold star on their head, so that was quite a deer.
And the cool thing is that the father, Mark Barrett, is the one that actually harvested the deer.
Yeah, that's always a neat deal, is when somebody has actually raised it themselves and let it grow up and watched it through the years, and to let one of the family members take it. I'm like you. That's the tragedy from time to time is not that it's a great experience for somebody, but you know, a first timer that shows up and you've been working on the ranch for 15 years. It may kill the big deer.
Yep, better to have it over your mantle than a client's, for sure.
I'm a little bit biased about that.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Well, you're obviously very busy with the November election right around the corner. I don't know how much you're going to get to hunt this year, but you are currently featured on the September-October edition of Texas Trophy Hunter magazine, and you're posing there with a monstrous brute. I mean, there's some serious mass on this guy. Where did you harvest that bad boy?
That one was down in Zavala County. It's a ranch I've been hunting on for, golly, nearly 20 years now. It's been a highly managed, I want to say it's about 28,000 acres now of high fence. It's very well watered. It's I think one of the great ranches in Texas is just east of La Pryor. The Nueces River runs right down through there, and matter of fact, I think it's the western boundary on this ranch, but it's just got the perfect landscape. You know, they feed year-round, and a great ranch.
Well, judging by the deer that you're holding on this magazine cover, it looks like they have some brutes down there. Now, do you prefer to bow or rifle hunt?
You know, I've become a bow hunter, and this has happened over the last 6 or 7 years, and there's just something really magical about sitting and watching the deer up that close and sitting in a ground blind or sitting in a pop-up tent and having the deer, you know, 10 to 15 yards away from you. And I mean, it's a treat for me just to sit there and watch the animals that close, to, you know, the quail come in, the green jays, all of the different birds that come in, and you just get to sit there, and you know, the pigs will come in, the occasional raccoon will come by and try to steal a little bit of corn. And I mean, from the standpoint of really being just right there as a quiet observer of nature, it's a really cool to bow hunt. that's not, you know, look, I ain't got anything against taking my my rifle out, whether it's management work or what have you, and it'd be hard for me to pick. I'm blessed to be able to do both from time to time, but just getting out in the country, cable is the key for me. And you know, I don't know how many hours my wife probably has kept up with it, but that I've sat on the blinds and done nothing but just watch and take pictures. I take a lot of pictures, a lot of video of critters. So it's just one of the great pastimes from my perspective. And you know, some people like to play golf, and that's not for me.
Yeah, it's more of a gardening session when I'm on the golf course. No, I did just get a new bow, though, and I am really looking forward to harvesting my first animal with it this season.
What are you shooting?
I'm shooting a Matthews.
Yeah, you got a Z7?
No, I actually went with the Maniac.
Yeah, Matthews makes some great equipment. You know, Bowtech, Hoyt, PSE, the technology has changed so much over the last decade, and, I mean, all these companies are making just some ultra-fast and really quiet. And I was at the bow shop the other day and shot a Z7, and just no vibration in your hand. So it's just, you know, in the arrows that they're making, the composite arrows, I mean, it is a really different business now. And one of the things, you know, this is getting into a little business here, but one of the things I hope the Parks and Wildlife will do is change our, you know, our minimum draw weight now to let, you know, younger and not as strong people get into a bow hunting. And I think we had either a 40 or 45 pound minimum. And frankly, it's all about kinetic energy. It's what is delivered at the point of impact. And with this technology they've got today, you know, man, you can probably pull a 30 pound bow and kill something that you know might have taken a 50 pound pull back 10, 15 years ago. So anyway, getting more people into bow hunting and frankly, all types of outdoor sports, whether it's, you know, bird watching or fishing or you name it, I think it's so important for our state to not be a barrier, but actually be a promoter of getting people out into the outdoors and respecting it and learning about it. And one of my goals as a governor is to have a Parks and Wildlife department that really thinks about, are you promoting people getting out in the outdoors, or are you putting barriers up?
Well, we're obviously on the same page there, Governor, because promoting the outdoors is what this show is all about. Now, what kind of rig are you currently using?
I got a Bowtech. Started out with a, gee whiz, I think an old Tribute. I actually got a Recurve now. That's a handful. You got to go practice with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never taking any animals with it. I'm not comfortable yet that I can shoot it well enough to take it to the country. But the Bowtech General is what I'm shooting right now. It's, I don't know, it's, what, 3-4 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to borrow a Matthews Z7 and try it out, so I may end up making a little change of brand. But it's, I'll tell you, I've got one kind of Moby Dick out there in my hunting world, and that's to take a Neil guy with my bow.
Mm.
And I sat on a tree blind for 2 days back 3 or 4 years ago, and I never got a decent shot. I got one up pretty close. It was about 40 yards, but wasn't the right animal. If this Matthews Z7 operates like I think it's going to, it may give me the advantage that I need. Time spent on a deer blind in a tree stand hunting, I don't think that's counted against your time on earth.
No sir, I don't think God counts that against you at all. You know, that's when I feel the closest to him. Well, Governor, we do have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
We'll dodel. Somebody comes in here and grabs me by the cuff of the neck.
Sounds good to me. We'll be right back with more from Texas Governor Rick Perry. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
We are blessed in the bounty of Texas tonight. Let us drink to those who marched that road to Goliad.
From gun dog training to obedience and deer tracking programs, Rave Retrievers has it all. Boarding, training, and group and private lessons, morning or evening, will accommodate you and your dog. Owner Deborah Lee has 30 years' experience in gun dog and obedience training and has recently added Amanda Farrell to the training staff to offer even more intensive training capabilities. With numerous ponds, creeks, boats, and duck blinds, we offer the most realistic training available. Go to www.raveretrievers.com for all your dog training and boarding needs. That's www.raveretrievers.com.
A place to shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring five different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes. Located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A place to shoot. Open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack, Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Signs Diet Premium Dog Food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296.
You just ground checked that trophy 12 point, only to realize you can't get him back to camp because your ATV has a flat. Well, multi-sealed tire sealant protects against punctures in the tread and sidewall of your tires. It seals bead and valve stem leaks, prevents rust and corrosion, lasts for the life of the tire, and so much more. See for yourself at multi-seal.com or call 800-577-3353. So whether it's your pickup, tractor, truck, or ATV, protect yourself with a Texas name you can trust. Multi-seal tire sealants. That's multi-seal.com.
Can you hear the thunder roar? Can you hear that lonesome wind blow? Tell me, baby, why you've been gone so long.
1100 Springs bringing us back from break on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. Me, baby, I'm Cable Smith, and we still have Governor Rick Perry on the line. This segment proudly brought to you by Spit and Fire Jigs, Texas' premier bass jig manufacturer. Check them out at spitandfirejigs.com. Spit and Fire Jigs, feel the fire. Well, Governor, let's jump back into things, and let's start with you telling us about your favorite place to hunt in Texas.
Well, I got to think South Texas, just because there's such a, I mean, just such a grand array of things to see, and, you know, you get way off down into Kennedy County and through there, and, you know, you're liable to see a little bit of everything down there. You're liable to see some really big African animals running across the landscape in those, some of those savannas down there on the old Norius division of the King Ranch. And it's just a magnificent place, incredible animals, you know, sand dunes to savannas to live oak motts, and plus just the history of that old King Ranch and a place where a lot of Texas history emanates from. It'd be my perfect spot.
Well, I'm going to have to put that on the list. Hunt the King Ranch, no doubt about it. Well, Governor, let's shift gears here for a second and talk about the coyote incident from a while back. You're on your morning jog outside of Austin, and you're always carrying your concealed carry weapon, I believe an LCP, and you ended up having to kill this coyote with it. Talk about that experience.
I run off-road a good bit and unpopulated parts of western Travis County, but when I run off-road, I normally carry my my weapon, and, you know, for obvious reasons, it's just me and the details around in a vehicle, but I get pretty far off-road from time to time, and obviously I carry two things. I carry my weapon, I carry a phone, so in case, you know, something does transpire, that I can get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. But that morning, it was back last, I want to say it's like last February, and my daughter's dog that is now staying with us, a good dog, stays close, doesn't range too far away. And
Black Lab, right?
Black Lab, yep. You know, she's just a good S-turn out in front of you and stays 35 to 40 yards out there looking back. Anyway, we came up on onto a boulevard that's been cut in there. No houses, no, it's kind of the backside of a golf course, best I can describe it to you. And headset on, listening to a little music, I'm sure. Uncle Ted playing some hunting music, if I was guessing. But the coyote comes by me about 7 yards to my left, never looks at me. He's just in an easy lope, right, laser locked onto that pup. As soon as I make contact and identify what it is, I just slip that little Ruger LCP out and charge it. And I holler at this coyote. He veers away just a bit. And I holler again, and he stops broadside. And he's got a really menacing stance. I mean, you know how the coyote kind of bow up on you?
Mm-hmm.
And the pup is stopped over there, too. They're probably, I don't know, 15, 20 yards apart. And he's just staring straight at me, not making any attempt to leave. The prudent thing for me to do is to kill this coyote before I have to be explaining to my daughter why I let this coyote either jump on her puppy. Anyway, long story short, that Crimson Trace laser works like a champ. It's point and shoot. You don't have to do a lot of aiming with it. Barnes makes a really nice hollow point that does the work. One in the shoulder and he's mulched. Where I grew up, Cable, killing coyotes and hanging them on the fence was kind of everyday affair. I decided, you know, if I hung it on the fence post, the people there might not understand. So he was just drug out in the side of the road and left. And I really didn't give a lot of thought until I think I was sharing a picture of it with, I took a picture with my cell phone. Somehow or another, somebody in the media found out about it. And obviously, they didn't grow up in Paint Creek, Texas, because they thought it was a big deal.
Can you imagine hanging that thing on a fence post in Austin? Those PETA freaks in your neck of the woods, oh, they would have been going nuts.
Oh, they already have already. My point with all this is I did a lot of people a service that day because there's a bunch of little cats and small dogs that these things live on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coyotes in these urban settings, they are making a living eating your little dog. And that's how they live. I mean, when small dogs get out and they disappear, don't go looking down at the shelter because they're probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
They've been recycled through a coyote.
Uh-huh.
These guys are brutal on small pets. So my heart doesn't bleed too much for coyotes living in the urban areas.
Well, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it either. Once again, we're visiting with Texas Governor Rick Perry on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Governor, how much bass fishing do you get the chance to do?
Not enough.
I hear that. Well, Lake Falcon is one of the Lone Star State's finest largemouth fisheries, but recent violence stemming from the Mexico side of the lake
yep.
have made it risky to fish there. So, I mean, what can we do here to make this lake safe for Texas anglers?
Well, this last week, a great example of what an absolute failure our federal government, and for that matter, Mexico's federal government, is on securing the border. These drug cartels in too many places just have free reign. And I will tell you, I wouldn't go fishing on Lake Falcon. After this last week, three boats come out. They attack these two people on their jet skis and kill the husband. You know, we're still trying to recover his body, and it is really frustrating. Two things. Number one, for it to take this long to recover this innocent American is just unconscionable. Secondly, just the whole aspect of, wait a minute, you know, these are innocent people out, and, you know, the idea that you're minding your own business and pirates, terrorists, drug cartel, whatever the heck it may be, they're trying to intimidate everybody along that border into understanding that this is their territory, and if you don't do what they want to do, they're going to kill you. That's not the America I want to live in.
Mm-mm.
And the federal government's responsibility is to protect its citizens. You know, my daddy told me the federal government's got three things it ought to be able to do before it starts telling us how to do anything else. Deliver the mail, preferably on Saturdays and on time, defend our border, and stand a military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third one's the only one that the federal government does today with any type of appropriateness. They get that right. We got the greatest young men and women serving our military and standing between us and the bad guys. I happen to think some of them need to be on our border with Mexico. Matter of fact, I've asked this administration for 1,000 National Guard troops for 20-plus months. I've had that request in. Secretary Napolitano last month just kind of laughed it off and said if Perry wants to put National Guard troops on the border, he can send them. He's got the the authority, and he can pay for them. Well, that is offensive on its face to me, Cable.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government is supposed to secure our borders. As a matter of fact, Napolitano sent a letter to George Bush back when she was governor of Arizona asking for exactly that. And in this letter stated, it is the federal government's responsibility to pay for these troops that we need on the Arizona border. You know, it's pretty darn hypocritical, in my opinion.
No doubt.
Say that, you know, if you want them, you can send them and you can pay for them, Mr. Perry. Well, the American people expect the federal government to keep them safe. And the question is going to be, how many Americans got to die before they get it?
Mm-hmm.
I've had it. An innocent American is dead today because this administration and this Congress have, for whatever reason, turned a deaf ear to the needs of the American citizen. And this has got to stop. You know, with that said, we got Ranger recon teams. We got our parks and wildlife wardens. We spent about $230 million over the last 4 years up and up our security effort and our border security effort along the border. But the fact is, Cable, we can't do it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 1,200-mile border. We don't have enough people on the border. We don't have enough assets in the air. They need to get real about securing and defending this border with Mexico.
Right now we're talking about violence and drugs, but, you know, we haven't even touched on the whole illegal immigration issue.
Well, you got to secure the border before you can ever have an immigration discussion.
Mm-hmm.
All these people that want to, sit around and say, oh, let's talk about immigration reform. And I just kind of, I'm not going to participate in that because it's a waste of time.
Putting the cart before the horse.
You can't have a discussion about how to deal with immigration until you secure the border. Because you can pass laws until the world looks level. And if there's a revolving door at the border, it doesn't matter what your laws are. Secure the border, Mr. President, then we can have a discussion about how to reform our immigration policy.
Yes, sir, indeed. Well, a couple more for you, Governor. Senator Wentworth's campus carry legislation is coming up here in the 2011 session. We've got to get that passed. You know, with the recent UT thing, kid carrying an AK-47 into a library, that could have been a lot uglier.
Well, we have been supporters of allowing concealed handgun license holders who've obviously been through the proper training, they've had the background, and to carry their weapon anywhere. And I happen to think the more well-trained, well-armed citizens you have, the less crime you're going to have in your country. And certainly that goes for our college campuses as well as any other place in this state.
All right, one more question for you. Bucket list hunt. You could go anywhere, hunt anything before you die. Where would you go and what would you hunt?
Golly, man, you throw me one there. That's a long list. I'd love to go to Africa. Never been to Africa before. Man alive. I got to think bow hunt Cape Buffalo has got to be the ultimate hunt in the world.
Talk about an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm not saying I'm ever going to do it, but I'm just saying that if the Lord gave me 2 days instead of one, I might want to do that Cape Buffalo hunt last, just in case it doesn't work out like you planned.
Definitely have to do the Cape Buffalo on day two, no doubt. Governor, you've been more than generous with your time this morning, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Good to see you, brother. Y'all take care of yourself. Let's go hunting.
Well, you know you've got a friend and a vote right here. Good luck in the election.
Roger that.
Well, there he goes. Big round of applause for one of our own, Governor Rick Perry. What a nice guy, and a CHL holder and avid outdoorsman to boot. Well, we do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll visit with Las Raices' own Marco Barrett about the 300-inch potential state record deer that was harvested on his ranch last week. All that coming up only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail.
Barefoot Fishing Tours and guide Charles Whited is South Texas' premier largemouth guide service. Charles not only puts you on fish, but he also teaches adults and kiddos techniques and strategies needed to land big bass. With two Bass Champs Angler of the Year awards and a record 44.98-pound five-fish stringer on Choke Canyon, his achievements speak for themselves. Fishing Choke Canyon, Bastrop, Browning, and Canyon Lake, call Charles at 512-557-6772. That's 512-557-6772, or visit barefootfishingtours.com. Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's beautiful Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and Axis fallow and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also a part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call Sandy at 210-827-2915. That's 210-827-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Kenneth Henneke's Fish Hatchery has been serving Texas for over 30 years, and we carry every fish you need to stock your ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers. From all types of bass, perch, tilapia, to shad, and various catfish, we have what you need and are the only hatchery that offers the fast-growing F1 hybrid catfish. Centrally located in Hallettsville, we deliver anywhere in Texas. So give us a call at 361-798-5934. That's 361-798-5934. Or visit our website at www.hennekehatchery.com.
Listen up, ticket heads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice: Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com. Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.
You were the girl I never knew I wanted. I was the boy you hoped you'd never see. It's a shame we ain't alone.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. This segment proudly brought to you by Rancho Bayas Rocas, South Texas' premier whitetail ranch overlooking the Edwards Plateau. Check them out at RanchoBayasRocas.com. Well, every Texas outdoorsman should have heard by now about the potential state record non-typical that was shot last week. This deer was harvested at the Las Raices Ranch in South Texas, and it will likely break the 300-inch mark. Well, we have Marco Barrett on the phone. Marco is not only one of the owners of the ranch, but is also in charge of the deer management side of things out there. Marco, welcome to the show, and congrats on raising one hell of a deer.
Well, thank you very much. We've been watching him for a very long time, everything just kind of came together this year. It was really amazing.
Well, I'm sure it's been a heck of a ride. Now, how long has your family owned the ranch?
We bought into a partnership in 1992. We had four partners, and then we bought those partners out in 1997.
Okay, and how long has the 6-square-mile property been high-fenced?
Our northern neighbor fenced 4 miles in 1998, and that was the last side that was low, and so it's been fenced since 1998.
Okay, and this deer that will probably score over 300 inches when it's all said and done is a completely native Texas deer. No manipulated genetics in any way, correct?
That's correct. We have never triple-T'd. We've never brought deer in. Trap tag and transport permit from the state. We've never done a DMP, which is a deer management permit where you catch a buck on your ranch or bring in a buck and then put 20 does in a small area and let that one buck breed all those 20 does. We've never brought any outside genetics in of any kind. We've never done any insemination or any of that stuff. All of our deer are native to Texas and native to our ranch.
And that's what all the doubters out there are having a hard time believing, that a deer could grow this big with just native Texas genetics. So let's talk about your deer management philosophy this morning. You know, we had a really wet year, which helps to improve antler growth tremendously. But what else do you guys do to ensure that your deer are big and healthy?
You know, we do pasture management. We've done root plow, and that we have a root plow field in the past that we've planted with food plots. Now, in the last few years, we've just planted oats in the wintertime. We have started a feeding program. We started the feeding program in 1997 before we were fenced, and dabbled in it. And really, we got on a good program in about 1999. And so we've been feeding consistently a protein feed for now 11 years.
And that's year-round?
That's year-round. That's correct.
Well, Marco, what are a couple inexpensive things that your average Texas hunter, you know, maybe they don't have 4,000 acres, but they've got a little piece of land. So what are a couple things they can do to better their herd?
Well, the most inexpensive thing you can do to make your deer herd better is not shoot young deer. Let them grow up. The new antler restrictions that are, you know, coming across the state, more and more counties every year being added to that antler restriction program, I think are really going to help. I think in the next few years, we're going to start seeing big deer come out of places in the state that we've never seen big deer come out of before. East Texas is already growing some really big deer, and you see trail cams come across your email that, you know, my gosh, I never knew that East Texas had a deer that lived till 5 years old, and now you have these deer are, you know, they have really long points and crazy non-typical beam tips. They're really interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun to be a Texas deer hunter in the next few years.
Yes, sir. Well, did your old man get to shoot this deer because you got to harvest the last big brute off the ranch?
You know, we've been doing this a long time, he and I. I started hunting with him, gosh, when I was 5 or 6, and I've been very lucky that I've been able to, I'm 32 now, I've been very lucky that I've been able to have a 25-year relationship with my father, going and hunting and you know, sharing the same passion. That's pretty much it. We take turns with who has the tag. So he had it this last time, and well, I would consider it like, you know, like a governor's tag for the ranch or something like that. You know, I mean, he has free reign to choose whatever deer he wants to hunt and hunt it until he gets it. This deer, we were very lucky to get at the very beginning of the season, but he hunted a deer 3 years ago, the year that I killed a big deer. He hunted him for 21 straight days, morning and evening, 42 sits. Before he was finally able to take him. So he hunts real hard, and we hunted this deer real hard, but before the season, you know, trying to get him patterned.
Uh-huh. And 4,100 acres, that's a big place, over 6 square miles. So, you know, your odds of seeing him on a specific morning or afternoon, pretty slim, actually.
Right. And we had hunted him. I put a game cam out in July. We knew that he was in the area because we'd been watching him for a long time. We had, you know, passed on this deer, and like I was saying, you know, let him grow up. We'd passed on this deer since he was a 2-year-old, and he was a little crazy, non-typical looking 2-year-old. So we had passed him for 6 consecutive years, you know, so we knew kind of his pattern that he was in. We knew where he would be, you know, pre-rut when he was, you know, in July. We knew where he'd be, and we kind of, you know, followed him with game cameras, never getting to see him until the middle of September. But we hunted him 2 weeks before we actually got our eyes on him. And it was right at dark in the middle of September the first time we saw him in person.
So y'all had to hunt this guy pretty hard. Now, what constitutes a cull buck at your ranch? You know, you've obviously got some great genetics, but what do you look for when deciding on a buck to take out?
A lot of people do the point thing. They do 8 points or less, or they shoot spikes, or they do 5 points or less as yearlings. I like to let deer grow up a little bit. And three years old, I start to look at them a little bit. I really don't do my big thinning out until they're 4. And I like to see long beams or the chance to have long beams. I think that if the deer is going to have big antlers, he needs a big foundation to do it on. So that's what I look at predominantly. I look at frame, but it's very hard to tell somebody that's not familiar with looking a lot of deer, you know, shoot deer with small frames. So, you know, that's what I do. I like to find if they have a unique characteristic, like a kicker or a little drop or something, even if they're an 8 point, you know, I let them go for a little while just to see what they're going to do. But I look at their overall frame, personally, to decide what I'm going to shoot as a cull.
Okay. Now, earlier you mentioned the importance of game cams and patterning this deer. How many other deer do you have on the ranch that maybe are Boone and Crockett quality bucks, but that you rarely see or never see? And how many Boone and Crockett quality deer do you think currently are roaming your ranch?
There are deer that we only see at night on the game cameras. And you may, if you see them, they show up way late in the rut. You'll see them when they're trying to build their body back in, like, you know, January, February, and you'll see them out on the fields, you know, out in the oaks trying to get a little fat back on them. And some deer are just like that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they don't move at all in the daytime by choice, unless they're chasing something or what. I really can't explain that. As far as the Boone and Crockett quality deer, obviously we're high fence, so they wouldn't qualify.
Right.
You know, four, something like that. It's a very good year. I would say probably four.
Let's talk food plots here for a second. You mentioned in your area of South Texas that you plant oats in the wintertime. Is that kind of your go-to food plot?
Well, that's an attractant food plot. That's not going to, it's not going to give them the kind of nutrition that they need to grow antler. And that's really all we've done recently, because we've gone to mainly focusing on the free choice protein. So, but as far as an attractant to have a bunch of deer out in the field and be able to hunt them in the wintertime, oats are great when you can get rain. That's what we do. And we're going to be planting our oats here about October 15th and pray for rain. We don't have anything irrigated except for our little oat patch that we have by the house. So spotty off and on whether we have oats at all.
Right.
Okay. Marco, let's talk about the reason why this deer was harvested while still in velvet. You know, was it the fear of the rut? You know, maybe the possibility of him getting into a fight and breaking off one of those points?
Well, we'd rolled the dice on this deer for, gosh, I mean, 6-7 years. The reason they shed their velvet is because their testosterone increases and it constricts the blood vessels around the base of their horns. And that's the reason, you know, their velvet dies and then they strip it off because it starts to itch or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When their testosterone increases, lots of times they change their patterns. And so they could just disappear on you. So we had the opportunity. We had him patterned. We had the opportunity to take him, so we decided to do it. We'd rolled the dice for 6 years that he wouldn't, you know, get killed by coyotes or another buck would gore him or, you know, somebody would come in and do something illegal. And we didn't feel like rolling dice anymore. You see a deer like that, the intelligent thing to do is to take him when you have the opportunity.
I could not agree more.
I would love to have him be rubbed out and have a beautiful coloration on his antlers. We found a guy, I believe he's in Iowa. He does an amazing job painting antlers and making them look exactly, you'd never be able to tell the difference.
Hmm.
And so we found that guy a couple of years ago. And so that really took our last reservation away from taking deer in velvet.
And where is this deer going, by the way? Are y'all getting a shoulder mount or a Euro mount? Or what are you guys going to do with him?
Usually what we do with our big deer is I do a European mount. And then we get reproductions done, and we'll put a reproduction down at the ranch. But I like to have the real horns closer to home and not somewhere where I'm not there all the time. And I like European mounts. The most fun you have with your antlers, I know that's the way I am, you keep the European, and you can always take that thing off the wall and hold it, feel it, rub on the horn. So that's the way we like to do it.
Very cool. Well, what is the buck to doe ratio out there at the ranch?
We're about 1-to-1. We took some deer off last year, does, so we may be a little bit inverted. We may be 1.1 bucks to does, but that's about where we are. We have a lot of work cut out for us this year. We have like 102 or 105% fawn crop counted. It was amazing this year. We have a lot of work left to do the rest of the year, taking does off.
Never ends, does it?
Never ends. Never ends. And it never ended when we were low fenced either. You know, we're in a kind of, you know, in a creek bottom, and our northern neighbor, you know, they didn't really shoot does. They're a really big ranch, and it's almost impossible for them to manage shooting enough does. And so we would work our butts off and kill 100 does on our place, and the next year we'd do a count and we'd have more. So, you know, we were really upset when the fence went up because we thought it was really going to change our way of life, and it did. But we've been able to make the best of it and work our little hunting place the best way we can, and in a way that's enjoyable to us. So it's different, but it's still a lot of fun.
Well, Marco, let's shift gears here for a second. What kind of blind were you guys in whenever your old man shot this deer?
He was in a 5-6 foot off the ground executive blind, a big box. It's a little bit more story than just that sitter that day. we had a picture of him from July 17th, and then we went on an overseas trip and came back about a month later. And both of us started going down and running trail cams, you know, over the whole ranch, but tried really hard to get on him specifically. And my first trail cam picture that we really knew we had something special was August 14th. When we got that picture of him, we immediately started to sit in blinds and try to get him on video and get good still cam pictures of him. It took us like 10 or 12 sits before 10 or 12 days sits before we got him on camera. I'd been down there for 8 or 9 consecutive days. I just had to come back to the office, and Dad, you know, passed me on 35 going south, and I knew it was going to happen. And the first day he went out there and sat, the deer just walked out broad daylight for him, and he took pictures. And so I was kind of upset about that, but I was glad the deer was coming in. So I went back down there the next day and got some good video. But it was pretty spotty. You know, I spent 6 weeks down there, and he and I, in that 6 weeks, we would sit there about half the time, and he really wasn't being very cooperative. And right before the season, he started to smooth out and be there pretty much every day in the evening. And we were very lucky, you know. We went there in the morning hoping that we would have a shot in the morning. It didn't work out. We went back in the afternoon, and he just walked right out like he had been for the last 4 or 5 days. Hmm. We were able to get the shot.
Awesome. And we know that he's probably going to score over 300 inches once the velvet is stripped off, and he's officially scored. How much did this guy weigh?
He weighed 188.
Wow. Now, did this brute have a nickname?
We called him Mini. And that's because we had a big deer a couple of years ago, and we called him the multi-pointed deer. And this deer came along, and he kind of looked pretty eerily similar, and so we called him Mini Multi. And the other deer is long since gone, but the name stuck. Mini stuck. So even as he got bigger, he was still Mini.
Very cool, my friend. Well, that's all the time we've got for this morning. I appreciate you coming on this morning. Congrats to you and your old man. That is a heck of an accomplishment and a true testament to dedication in regards to managing your deer herd.
Well, thank you, guys. And my dad is sure thrilled. He's been walking on clouds ever since that day.
As he should be. Well, thanks again, Marco. We've got to go. We are out of time. Once again, Marco Barrett of Las Reyes Ranch. You can check out photos of Mini at his MySpace or Facebook page. You can also see a picture of Mini right there on my homepage. Thanks to Marco and, of course, Governor Perry for coming on the show this morning. Next week should be another great show. We're going to have Justin Bowerman, one of my favorite up-and-comers on the Texas country music scene. He'll be live in studio singing a couple of his songs about the outdoors. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Here's a little Justin Bowerman taking us on home. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
This old shotgun is wood and steel. It don't breathe and it don't feel. But I like the way it shines in the frosty morning light. The most dependable I've found, although I beat and bang around. But if it were to catch a flame, I believe the barrel would melt down, and it would all return to dust.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack, Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Signs Diet Premium dog food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com. Listen up, ticket heads. When you harvest that wall-worthy trophy, there's only one choice, Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com. Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also, specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.